Now we can, there we are. Okay. It was an interesting week. Of course, I've known about this for a while. Pastor Dave let me know that he wanted me to preach now. And so I'd come up with something. I thought, okay, this will be good. And then about a week and a half before, I thought, just didn't have a good feeling like this is what God wanted me to preach on. So I looked in there and I found something else, and then I thought, okay, this will be good. And then I think it was about Wednesday night, God's like, I don't think so. And I'm like, seriously? I mean, I didn't say that to God, but, you know, he does that sometimes. And I said, okay. So then he showed me what he wanted me to speak on. So I'm praying that I do this right, because it talks about in the first little verse that we talk about how serious this is, especially for whoever gets up here. And but before we start, we're going to be in James chapter 3, 2 and 3, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. But before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would indwell me, speak through me, and speak to every heart that's here, that your word will not return to you void as you have promised. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So before I get started, though, kind of an example of what this is about. For those of you that are sitting next to somebody on your right or your left, I want you to face them now, please. And then I want you to stick out your tongue to them. Just stick it out, just like you would in the doctor. Just, Now, you noticed when they stuck out their tongue that it was probably a pinkish color. But if it was blue, or if it was green, or if it was white, something would be wrong. Because do you ever notice when you go to the doctor and they say, you know, stick out your tongue and go, you know, and it's like, okay, why is he doing that? Because by looking at your tongue, the texture of it, the color of it, the smell of it, you can tell if there's something else wrong inside. So today, we're going to look at the tongue of believers, and we're going to see, will our tongue tell us that there's something else wrong inside? But before we do that, I want to share one quick verse, it's kind of been touched on a little bit, and I appreciate Bob doing this. In James 2, in verse 18 and 19, verse 18 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" And then verse 19, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe, but they tremble." And I'm concerned that there's a whole lot of people, at least by the last results of this last election, in particular some of the proposals, that we're not trembling at the sight of God. You know, a lot of people might say, "Well, I believe in God." Good, because the demons do too. But they tremble in front of His. And I think we've gotten to the point where we maybe are too high and mighty. But the good news is, as I like to say, as it was written, so it shall be. We know that the closer it gets to Christ coming back for us, the worse things are going to be. And I think this last Tuesday, at least for the proposal-wise, here in the state of Michigan anyway, maybe some other ones too, that we're getting to that point. We're getting to what is good they call evil, and what is evil they call good. So, but just hang in there, because the Lord's coming back. Maybe before I get finished with this. So if he does, hopefully I won't be here, because hopefully none of you will either, but I'm pretty sure I won't be here, so anyway. But anyway, I want to talk about the tongue. It says in James 3, James 3 and verse 2. In verse 1, it talks about why the importance of whoever gets up here to speak, or any place, not necessarily on a Sunday morning, but wherever. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. If I get up here and say something, if Jason does, Pastor Dave does, anyway, you know, Jeff does, whoever, and it's not clearly written in what scripture, it's not in the right context, not right application, when we get to glory, there's a stricter judgment. I don't know what all that means, but I don't want to find out. So that's why we take, and everybody that I've heard takes very good care of how they present the word. But then it says in verse 2 of chapter 3, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. We stumble in many things. We don't just, have any of you ever said something and you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't said that? Have any of you ever said something and then regretted it later? Have anybody ever said something to you that kind of hurt you? And you remember it a week later, a year later, 20 years later, for some of you maybe 50 years later or more. Some of you are shaking your heads. It's amazing. The thing that I can't figure out, though, as we were growing up, remember the old sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Whoever said that is a liar. I mean, it's a But, I mean, you know, you said it as a kid, I said it, you know, we're just like, oh, yeah, you know, because we always say that when somebody says something bad against us. So it's like, oh, no, those won't hurt me, but they do. Words have a tremendous power. There have been wars started. There have been terrible things happen because of words. When you look at anything that is evil that ever comes through it, words are the basis of that, whether they're spoken or thought of or written. It's an amazing thing. But we all stumble in many things. Sometimes we don't plan on it, right? I mean, as believers, we don't plan on stumbling, on falling, of saying something that's hurtful to others, but we do because we have that. So we have to examine ourselves. Then it says, do we all live pure lives? We don't stumble. You might say, well, Brother Ken, I don't stumble in many things. I don't sin in many things. Okay, let me ask you then. Look at your tongue. I mean, not literally. I don't know if, can you look at your own tongue? I don't know. I've never tried that, but anyway. But look at your tongue, and a tongue will show us. It'll show us. Next time you're in the mirror, like in the morning, whatever, when you get in there and you're getting ready to brush your teeth or whatever, stick out your tongue and look at it. And kind of remember what this is talking about. So we look at our tongues. Are we always patient and long-suffering to others? And I think I'm primarily talking to parents with little ones, because they can try your soul. I think that's why God put them here sometimes, because patience is a virtue, right? And they try, and you're like, oh, okay. I think that's why the Lord gives children to, I think he gives grace to people that are like my age, so that, you know, we've gone through the suffering or whatever, the great tribulation, and now we don't. But are we patient and long-suffering? Yeah, but you don't know. It doesn't matter. Are we kind? You know, Ephesians 4 tells us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Are we kind? Yeah, but you don't know what this guy cut me off, and it's like, it happens every day. I think I need to talk to Ford Motor Company and the other auto dealers and stuff in this state, because it's amazing how many people driving on the roads do not have turn signals on their vehicles. They just, like, go right in front of you, and you're like, I don't know. I know, it seems that way. These guys on a motorcycle, they stick their arm out or whatever, but are we kind? Do we bear all things? Yeah, up to a point. No, it doesn't say up to a point. It just says to bear, to continue. To believe God in all things. Are we bragging? Are we jealous? Are we rude? Do we provoke others? Sometimes it's interesting, and this is kind of a pet peeve of mine. No, nobody here, but I understand that sometimes I've known people where they'll say, they're always got a joke, right? They always say, oh, you know, it's, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're like, really? That gets old sometimes, you know? So are they just kidding, or is it being unkind and just kind of washing it away with that little? So be careful. If you're one that kids people, be careful of that. Because sometimes we don't know somebody good enough to kid about something. But let's be careful of that. But one thing that can be said sure of, that we were all made in the glory of God. We were all made in His image. And because of that, we don't really have an excuse. We have a sin nature, right? But we don't have an excuse to that, especially as believers. But did you know that we will be held accountable by God for every word, not just every bad word, but every word that we speak? So we need to control our tongues. And why? Because you look in verse 3, it says that a person that controls their tongue is a perfect or a complete or a mature person. Has somebody ever done something to you and you just want to say something back to them? But you bite your tongue, right? So we have to learn to control our tongue. If we learn to control this tongue, we learn to control passions and our appetites for our body. Because if you can control your tongue and what it says, so here's a thought. The tongue speaks what is in your heart and mind. Sometimes we don't think about that. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 34. He says, talking to the Pharisees, he says, you brood of vipers. Some people say, see, Jesus wasn't talking nice. Jesus was telling the facts. This is exactly who they were. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasures bring forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Uh-oh. And you will be justified by your words, or you will be condemned by your words. And you might say, well, I asked Christ in my heart, I'm born again. I don't mean because I said something, I'm not going to heaven. No. But the rewards that you can earn by speaking kind words are gone. Especially those that aren't saved. Every careless word. Have you spoken a careless word? Yeah. So we need to be very careful about that. Kind of a slap in the face, doesn't it? Wake you up. Another thing that's important, as we read in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, because our battle isn't against just our heart and our mind. There's a whole lot more than that involved. Again, 2 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and every thought taken captive to obey Christ. Then we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, where it says, and a lot of you have known this verse and use it, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." We're not battling. When you have those words that you want to just give out to somebody in anger or in whatever, is that just us? Or is it from the heavenly places? I think of our wonderful police officers that we have. And I am sure that there are times when you're about ready to lose your salvation because of what somebody says to you. But yet they control it. Because they're disciplined to do that. And likewise, we need to be disciplined to do that. Again, starting with verse 3 of chapter 3. And it says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Though they are so large, they are driven by fierce winds. They are turned at a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Many of you have probably ridden a horse, and you know that when you put a bit in their mouth, you can just turn them this way or that way. That horse is big, but you can control them by that. And like a ship, huge ships with tiny rudders comparatively to the ship, but yet that tells it where it's going to go. And our tongue does that same thing. It also talks about a fire. As we look in verse 5 at the end there, it says, "See now how great forest a little fire kindles, and how the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is also set among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of matter, and is set on fire by hell." You've seen what one match, one little flame can do on a dry field. Just goes and goes and goes. Likewise, our words. You might say one little thing, and that's no big deal, but yet it can destroy not just the person that we're speaking to, but generations. It was interesting when I was deployed over in Kosovo, and I talked with some of the teenagers there that were at the place, and they liked playing basketball. And I forget the name's name was. I said, "Oh, did you know so-and-so? He was an NBA player from that area, you know." And they were like, they looked at me with this evil eye, and they're like, "No, we hate him." Well, because he was Serbian, and they were Albanian. And they didn't get along real well together. But I said, "Why do you hate him so much?" Well, because his grandfather killed my grandfather in the wars. So for generations, those words, those actions, they just keep going. It's like somebody is like, "Why does this continue?" Well, because so-and-so said something 3 generations ago. Words have power that don't just go away after you hear them. They have a way of sticking in there. And again, and I preach this to myself because I need to hear this. But we can boast a lot also. It says in Psalm 10, verse 3, "For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord." Because as we see there, we can just boast about all kinds of little things. "Do not boast about tomorrow," it says in Proverbs 27:1, "for you do not know what a day may bring." James chapter 4, starting with verse 13. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit." It says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills." We say things in our mind like, "Oh, I'm going to go here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." Do we include the Lord in that? But the words just come out. So we need to be very careful. But that tongue is a fire that can destroy all kinds of things. Think about it. Words or rumors or something that you've heard. Think about the marriages that have been destroyed. Think about the friendships that have been damaged. Think about the children that have been disturbed. And this is what, as an elementary teacher years ago, this is what used to get me, because I remember one young man, call him young man, a sixth grader, and he came up to my desk, showed me what he had done, asked a question. I told him, I said, good job. I said, you are smart. He said, Mr. Ken, or Mr. Petzl, I guess, however you phrase it, he said, no one's ever told me that. And I said, no one? He's in sixth grade, so he's like 11, 12 years old. Nobody had ever told him that he was smart. And I thought, oh, what power our words have, especially with children. I mean, it can devastate them for their lives. You know, do kids do dumb things? Yeah. And as an adult, did I do dumb things? That's why I've got 4.5 fingers on this hand. Because we do dumb things. But that doesn't make them dumb. It's just the things that they do. So we need to be very careful. Children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, however they might be very careful on how we speak to them. That they aren't the problem. It's the actions that are the problem. And the list could go on and on, all kinds of things like that. But it talks about there in those verses that says that the fire of the tongue, it defiles the whole body. It's not just what we say, but it's our whole actions. Everything that's connected to it. With the course of nature there, in the Greek, it means the wheel of nature, the wheel of life. It just continues going round and round. It's not just a little moment in time, but it continues for generations. Pollute a whole body. When we look at that, when it talks about in verse 3 there, where it said, and this is kind of an interesting thing I wanted to go back and touch on again, but it says it is set on fire by hell. And when you think about that, I mean, this is James writing here. This is inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That the words that we say that are unkind and I mean, we could say evil, but we don't think of evil words often by the things we say. Things that are unkind and not in God's word, they're put there by Satan. Because they're not put there by God, right? Because otherwise they would be kind words. But when we say evil and mean things, that's from Satan. Do we want to be spokespersons for Satan? I know I don't. And that's one of those things that just really smacks me. It's like, are the words that I'm saying, are they the kind words that need to be said? Interesting. Ephesians 4:31 tells us about how we should speak. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Some nice words in there, but what do they all mean? Okay, when it says put away all wrath and anger, we kind of understand that. But then when it says clamor, what is clamor? This is clamor. This is, you know, when you raise your voice and you yell and make all kinds of, that's clamor. I was taught when I was going through school to be a teacher, they said one of the best things if the class is getting a little noisy or whatever, it's not like, okay, class, quiet down, hey, I'm up, quiet. No. Class, be very quiet. I'm going to give you your assignment for tomorrow. That you just lower your voice. And slowly, they're going to start listening. Because like, wow, what did he say? What's he saying? So clamor, we don't need to raise our voice. You know, I often say, unless the building that you're in is on fire, you don't need to raise your voice. Unless you're hard of hearing like me, then it's like. So ladies, please understand that It's a biological fact that as men get older, their hearing goes, and it's a strange thing. It's called selective hearing. And we never know when we're going to be able to hear and not hear. So if your husband doesn't, did you say that? Right? Guys, you're all nodding your head? Yep. I probably shouldn't say that up here. It's not. But we need to be very careful. And then it talks about slander. It's the same as blasphemy. And then Titus 3, verses 1 through 2. It says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. That's a tough thing right now because there are some rulers and authorities that some of us don't agree with. All of us probably don't agree with everything. But it says we need to be submissive to these rulers and authorities because God allowed them to be there. Be obedient. Be ready for every good work and to speak evil of no one. After Tuesday's elections, I was guilty of this. I didn't necessarily speak evil in kind of like four-letter words or whatever, but I was like, oh, great. Now, you know, some of you may have done that too. So we need to be very careful that we speak evil of no one. We avoid quarreling. Gentle. To show perfect courtesy toward all people. Everybody. Perfect courtesy. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 tells us, so put away all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and slander. Put it all away. Malice means wickedness. Deceit talks about setting a snare, setting a trap for somebody. Hypocrisy means two-faced, because back then in the Greek theater, they would have a mask on a stick that they would wear with a smiley face, and they would do their part. And then they would turn around, and then it would have a face with a frown on it. That's where the original, where they got two-faced from. And then they would do that part of the play. So that's where hypocrisy means. Don't be two-faced. You know, if you say something, that's it. Envy and slander, meaning to be jealous of somebody or slander just to speak evil of them. Well, you know what so-and-so did? And this is a part that I guess we need to be very careful of as believers. Oh, let me share a prayer request with you. Brother Jason, he's having this problem. I mean, he doesn't, but we just use him because he's a dear, dear brother. Please pray for Brother Jason. He's you know, oh, yeah. So it's not gossip, but it's sharing prayer requests. So we really have to examine our hearts as to why we're sharing those things. Jason's doing just fine. But you can still pray for him. So we need to put all that away. It says in verse 7, James chapter 3, for every kind of beast, bird, reptile, and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. Do we ever think about that? Our language, our tongue, deadly poison. That we can have all kinds of animals, right? When you go down to the Detroit Zoo, they're all somewhat tame. I mean, I wouldn't jump in the cages with them, but they're somewhat tame, right? But we can do all that to all of those, but not to our own tongue. Interesting. And it's that our tongue cannot be completely tamed here. We can do it partly maybe once in a while during church, but not all the time. Interesting. In Matthew 5:29, this is kind of an application. It's not exactly what it says, but I think I can apply this here. Matthew 5 and then verse 20. Let's see, we'll start with verse 29. It says, Jesus is talking, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for the whole body to be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body be cast into hell. Now, Jesus wasn't saying, pluck out your eye and chop off your hand, literally. But he was trying to get across the idea of how serious this is. And I wonder, too, if we could apply, if your tongue is causing you to sin, cut it out. It'd be better for you to go into glory without a member of your body than to be cast into hell. Psalm 139, verse 4 tells us something interesting. Because some of us will say, well, I want to say something to somebody, but I hold it back, right? I bite my tongue. I'm like, nope. I'm a good Christian. I'm not going to say that. What does Psalm 139, verse 4 say? Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know all about it. Whoa. We're guilty. I haven't said it, but so what do we do? How do we get rid of this? Because I keep having these thoughts about whatever and this and that, and even though I don't say it, God still knows it, and I'm in. That's why we need Christ. That's why we need him. I want to show you, I hope whoever set this up here, you did a wonderful job, but I'm just going to move it. So is that okay? I don't want to get in trouble by anybody. So anyway, I'm just going to move these things over here because I'm going to show you something. Because we can all be good people at times, and at other times not. So how do we fix this? We fix it with Christ in us. And we understand that having Christ in us is when the Holy Spirit comes into us and changes us. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, it says that, you know, if any man, if any woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. Behold, the old has passed away. Behold, everything is new. So, here's some examples. This is you and me. And this is Jesus. And this, I'm going to trip over that yet. And this is the world's solutions to our problems. That was too big to write on a piece of paper, so I just went. And this is sin. This is Satan. So, you and I, we were born into sin, right? But before we were born, we were probably okay. Remember, it talks about being born again without that sin nature. But shortly after we're born, sin comes into our life. And can everybody see that okay? So sin comes into our life. Not a lot of sin, just a little, a few drops. And we can tell, right, that it already is making a little bit of difference. Not a lot, but just, you know, enough. But as the years go by, and the older we get, real quick survey here. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have taught your children or your grandchildren how to lie, cheat, steal, fight? Any of you do that? Like in homeschool, is there a curriculum for that? Or? I'm picking out homeschoolers because almost all my grandkids are homeschooled. So. But no, they just learn that, right? They learn it from their older sibling. Like Callista, right? You teach your. That's where Winter and everybody got it from, is from you? No, yeah. But it just happens. It happens to all of us because that sin just keeps coming in. So as the years go by, we sin a little bit more. And look what it does. It changes us, doesn't it? We're different now. That's where our tongue, when it speaks, speaks not good things. So how do we get rid of this? We can try what the world will say. They'll say, you know what? Just think better thoughts. Do nicer things. Just, you know, as I have some friends that will always say, sending good vibrations to you and something like that. And I thought that was a song back in the 60s or whatever. But anyway, they'll put things and they'll say, here, try some of this. I'll say, okay, good. So he puts them in there. Not much difference. I don't see any difference, right? So we try that over and over and over again, and it doesn't do anything. Our heart is still black. It's not right. It's not how God intended, right? But then somebody tells us about Jesus. Invite Jesus into your heart. And he will clean it out. And some of us are like, I don't know. Give it a try. What do you got to lose, right? What do you got to lose? All right, fine. So we trust in Jesus, truly trust in Jesus with all our heart, and allow him to make those changes. So we put a little bit of Jesus in us. Actually, we need a lot of Jesus, but just a little bit is all it takes. And what happened? Yeah. So Jesus takes care of that. And he's like, now you can speak those kind words. Now you don't have to always, but it's because I've changed you, right? I've changed your heart. You might say, well, wait a minute, what if I sin again? Because, right, I mean, I don't know about you, but ever since I've been saved, I think I've sinned a couple times. A day, an hour. Yeah, you got that right, brother. But what about if we have more sin comes into us? Well, guess what? The devil's like, take care of you. You think you're high and mighty now. You think you're all with Jesus. I'll take care of you. So he puts a little more sin into us. And it's there, but what does Jesus' blood do? It keeps us clean. It's gone. Where did it go? Amen. So that's what Jesus will do, not only for our heart first, because when our heart is clean, what comes out of our mouth? Good words, clean words. If our heart isn't like all the other people in the world, because they got sin too, right? But they don't tell you that. But so when they get sin, what's in their heart? Darkness, evil. And it's only going to get worse without Jesus. So we need to be very careful of that. The tongue is unruly. It praises God with one word, but yet it curses people with another word. You know, like some of the politicians that we saw get into office or to stay in the office, and we didn't have a lot of kind words for them. They were still created in the image of God. Yeah, there's some things that they do I don't care for, but we still can't speak unkindly towards them. And that's a hard thing for me sometimes, because I'm like, oh, they deserve. Yeah, what about me? What do I deserve? I don't deserve what I have either. But we just remember, they were created in the image of God just like we were, so we need to be. One of the important things as we get ready to wrap up here, you always know when there's about 15 minutes left in the sermon, right? And he says, and I got one final point. But our tongues need to be controlled. It's something that we need to work in, and we can't do it, again, without Jesus in our hearts first. But still, we need to work on it. Give you some verses. Because just like if you go to a nice spring and there's fresh, clean, cold water, you drink it, you're like, oh, it's so good. And you put your glass in there again, you drink it, it's like, oh, this is disgusting. No. Dusty water doesn't come out of the same fountain, if you will, as good, clean water. So likewise, out of our mouth, out of our tongue, shouldn't come both. Psalm 34, verse 13, it says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Proverbs 13, verse 3, whoever guards their mouth preserves their life, and he who opens wide his lips come to ruin. Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. You probably heard that, right? Sometimes it's better to just zip it, right? But we always got to have the last word, right? Not according to the Bible. James 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. If you do all, you show up here, you put money in the offering, you sing in the praise team, you sing out in the choir, you do the sound back there, you do the cleaning, you do all kinds of stuff. But if you don't control your tongue, it says your religion, it's worthless. Ouch. 1 Peter 3, verse 10 says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, I do, right? You want to see good days? You want to love life? Let them keep their tongue from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Luke 6:46 tells us, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I tell you? Remember in Matthew 5 where it talks about, and this is a verse that always gets me, where Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. So you can say all kinds of stuff and still not be one with Christ, still not know him. And then James 3, verses 10 and 11. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing, my brothers and sisters. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? No. So neither should our mouth bring both. If you get anything, just be consistent. Always have a foul, nasty, a good mouth. You know? I mean, one or the other. So what? Or we look at James 1:19 and think it's a very good verse for a lot of us that we need to remember so often. Everyone, not just someone, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What does it mean to be quick to hear? Okay, I'll pick on Jason again just because he's such a... Jason's talking to me. He said, hey, Brother Ken, can I talk? Oh, yeah. So he's talking to me, and I got my, And I got my phone out, and that's a bummer. Wow, that's, yeah, okay, yeah. I'll be praying for you. Am I listening to Jason? No. I'm too busy with stuff. And that, I think, has happened so much to us these days. So when someone is talking to you, look them right in the face. Look them in the eyes. And listen. You know, you talk about reading between the lines sometimes when you can see them. Listen between the lines. And this is why. Because, according to experts, how we communicate isn't just with our words. They say that's only 7% of what the meaning is. 38% is our tone of voice. You think about it. You know, you go into the bedroom to wake the kids up for school. You say, good morning, time to get up. Or do you walk in the bedroom, good morning, get up. Third time, yeah. There's a difference, isn't there? It's a different way of communicating, so that tone of voice. And 55%, they say, is body language. Like when you're looking at your phone when somebody else is there, or, you know, all those things with body language. These experts have said, you can tell that you're not listening or that you are listening. So the more you can just focus on them. Because you know how important it is for somebody to feel like somebody's listening to them? You know how awful it is when somebody thinks nobody's listening to me? It's awful. So we need to be very careful. And the last verse I'm going to go is Psalm 51. This is when David is writing this after he has been notified by Nathan the prophet of his sin with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 51, David is talking. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin," just like we did up front. And then in verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice." And then in verse 10, "Create in me, make this from nothing. Create in me a clean heart, O God," just like he did when we showed up here. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew, make new the right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Wow. "Create in me a clean heart." So how clean are our hearts this morning? There's a lot of stuff goes on in this world that would bring us down, that would pollute us, that we don't think is quite that bad. If I just said this, do you ever wonder sometimes when people, and I never have really understood why or where that came from, but when some people say, excuse my French, the poor French people, man, they really get a, I don't know that many French people, but I thought, they don't. But so we need to be very careful that we don't have to say excuse for what we say, that everything, every word we speak, and the reason behind it is tender and loving and merciful. Because that's what each other needs. Because that's how Jesus spoke. Remember when they were nailing him to the cross? What did he say? "Okay, God, send fire and brimstone. Kill all these guys." He had every right to, right? What did he say? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And sometimes people that we meet don't know what they're doing when they say certain things. And especially children. You can hear them kind of back there. Until they're about, I think it's 23, their mind isn't fully developed. So when they do things, yes, kids do dumb stuff because that's what kids do. They don't think things through. But let's be very careful that every word, every attitude that we have, whether we eat or drink or speak or whatever we do all to the glory of God. Something to think about. Something to every day. Every day, put into every morning. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to bring your word. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to guard our lips, to guard our heart, Father, as you said in your word you would do, to protect us from the evil one, so that everything we say, Lord, would help to build up others, to encourage one another, and to show the love of Christ, so that through this, they too would want to come and know you. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there is anybody here that has not surrendered their life to you, that this would be that morning, that they could come to you and say, "I'm tired of this life. I don't want this anymore. I need something new." Help them, Lord, to meet one of us here, that Father, we would share your word with them, and today would be their birthday, a new birth. Again, be with Pastor Dave as he's away. Keep him and Missy safe. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to bless everybody here this week and help them to be a light, to shine your love through all that we see. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.